Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Purdue Pharma's multi-billion dollar bankruptcy settlement's up for debate at the Supreme Court today, and whether the Sackler family can still be sued over the opioid crisis. Chris Gannon's with the DOJ.
This release extinguishes personal property rights. The creditors' state law chose to set action that do not belong to the bankruptcy estate.
The money would go to victims and efforts to combat the crisis. Israel's blaming Hamas for its escalated attacks now in Gaza. Government spokesman Daniel Hagari.
It should be clear to everyone by now, Hamas chooses war. Hamas chose war when it broke the hostage release agreement on December 1st.
And FSU fans are not happy their undefeated Seminoles were left out of the college football playoffs. Marie Devine's a student in Tallahassee.
You know, we thought we all deserved it. I think we still do.
The Noles won the ACC title game over the weekend. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
There's a new attitude surrounding Carroll University basketball this year as Taylor Jansen leads the men through his first full season as head coach. The Pioneers are celebrating all...
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Another case of bird flu is confirmed in Wisconsin, this time at a commercial poultry farm in Barron County. This after recent confirmed cases in Taylor and Trumbull counties. State and federal agriculture officials say the birds have been euthanized to keep the disease from spreading. The next Wisconsin Supreme Court campaign is already underway. Waukesha judge and former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel announced he's running last week. Observers say his early entry shows how much is at stake.
We're in ground zero here in Wisconsin, so I would expect this to be a big race and really to have the world's attention, the country's attention. So, yep, this is going to be a big one.
Patrick Garassi helped run Janet Protasiewicz's campaign. He was on Upfront on WYSN-TV. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A Milwaukee County health official says only 9% of residents in the county have received the updated COVID-19 vaccine. The numbers are a little better for the older population, with a 29% vaccination rate for those over 65. The city of Milwaukee has even lower numbers, with just 5% of residents receiving the updated booster vaccine. In response, the Milwaukee Health Department plans to hold off-site clinics throughout the month in an effort to increase vaccination rates. A Waukesha North football standout is moving on from Wisconsin. Shimray DK announced today that he's entering the transfer protocol, which means he wants to play somewhere else. The wide receiver thanks his coaches and teammates in the statement today, saying he's entering the transfer portal for his final year of eligibility. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Packers beat the Chiefs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers over the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. The final, Green Bay 27, the Chiefs 19. After a four-game losing streak, the Packers now won four of their last five games. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur on how the offense is improving.
Certainly there's a trust, just making sure that we get the protection that's needed. You know, guys in the receiver room and tight end room are making plays in the passing game.
The Chiefs fall to 8-4, and next week they host the Buffalo Bills. Chiefs defensive lineman Chris Jones.
I go by the 5-minute rule. You got 5 minutes to complain. You got 5 minutes to get it all out.
NBA, the Bucks getting ready to play the New York Knicks tomorrow night at Fiserv Forum. Milwaukee held on to beat the Hawks 132-121 over the weekend. Adrian Griffin.
You know, we played a tough Atlanta team that could really score the ball. I don't think they missed in the first half, and we just weathered the storm.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. 36 this afternoon, under cloudy skies, west winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. 29 tonight, chance of snow. Chance of snow tomorrow, 38. A dusting of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making, a lot of it made over this weekend. We're going to start again, sadly, with Tommy Tuberville. Tommy Tuberville. For 9 months, he has blocked officer promotions in our entire military. For nine months. Just now, the USS Kearney was fired on in the Red Sea. Two commercial ships, friendly to us, were fired on in the Red Sea. The Kearney knocked the missiles down. 10% of the world's trade goes through the Red Sea, believe it or not. 10% of the world's trade goes through the Red Sea. And this Confederate white supremacist chicken hawk trader, Tommy Tuberville, is using unanimous consent to block promotions of our military. And a lot of generals and admirals now are putting their retirement for the end of this month. We're losing hundreds of years of accumulated experience because of a Confederate white supremacist, because of a chicken Senate that won't do anything about it. Schumer is about to put in a resolution that would override unanimous consent, but it's being filibustered by the Republicans. So it takes 9 Republican votes to overcome the filibuster, and they don't have it yet. Here's the latest. 20 House members, Republicans, 20 House representatives, 20 House, including the Freedom Caucus, but some others, wrote to Tuberville over the weekend thanking him for his 9-month delay, his 9-month hold on military promotions. And there's more than 400 of them. It's not now just flag officers. It's any officer that requires Senate confirmation. One of the senators, the Alaska senator, went to him, and this is very, very sad, and said, Mr. Tuberville, would you consent to permitting the promotions of 3-star and below and just holding up the 4-stars? That is one of the most disgusting things I've ever heard, that they're negotiating with a Confederate white supremacist, offering him to hold up the most senior admirals and generals, the 4-stars. The way this works, you get promoted up in the Navy, the Army, the Air Force, Marines, up to colonel in the Army, and up to captain in the Navy. When you go above that, in the Navy, that's rear admiral. It used to be Commodore. You've heard of Commodore Perry. John Paul Jones, you heard of him. He was a Commodore. A Commodore is an intermediate rank in the Navy that hasn't been used in a long time. That was one star. A rear admiral is two stars. Vice admiral is three stars. Full admiral is four stars. And in the Army, you have major generals, lieutenant generals, and generals. Major general will be two star, lieutenant general, three star, and so forth. The Alaska Republican senator went to Tuberville and begged him, instead of beating the hell out of him, instead of taking him and putting him in jail for being a traitor, begged him to say, okay, you can continue to hold up four stars. Let's hold the phone on that. The four-star generals and admirals are our senior military officers. Occasionally, five stars have been given. For instance, to Dwight Eisenhower in the Second World War. If you are commanding an entire theater of war, a consequential war to our country, maybe you get five stars. Tuberville said, no, I want to stop three stars and two stars. I want to stop all military promotions that require Senate confirmation because they're a bureaucracy. I think there are too many of them. He threw in the abortion thing. But then he said they're woke. How would a Confederate white supremacist from Alabama who never served know what woke means? What woke means is that some of these promotions are going to go to black officers and female officers. And he doesn't think they should be in the military. That's what he means by woke. I have never met a Navy or an Army officer or a Marine officer who, by any definition of the word, would be considered woke by anybody. They're military. They're very brave. Many of them, most of them have been in combat. Some of them have been wounded. People like Tuberville would run for the hills if they heard a shot fired in anger. He thinks he's a Confederate white supremacist, but you know, his kind, back in 1861, when the Confederacy started to draft an army, all deserted. Or they claimed they had to work the farm, or they disappeared when the going got tough. They disappeared. So what's going to happen? Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Some of the Republican senators said, well, we will step up by the end of the year. But by the end of the year, you're going to have a lot of these people who will have retired and will have lost hundreds of years of indescribably important military experience. We go to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. Gene, what's in your mind today?
Well, hi, Matt. I mean, you know, these people are out of control, and they're a danger. They should not be in those offices. They're a danger to our security. They're a danger to our democracy. They're a danger, you know, to our country. And they just laugh it off, and they seem like they're not even serious about what's going on. And really, they all need to be replaced. This is just ridiculous. But thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Gene. I share your outrage, and I say this not just because I've served too, but people like Tuberville, when he describes military officers as a bureaucracy, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You need leadership. You need leadership right at the platoon level in the Army. You need leadership right at the deck division level in the Navy. In the Navy, your officer might be an ensign or a lieutenant JG. In the Army, it might be a second lieutenant or a first lieutenant. But whether it was in Vietnam or whether it's in anything having to do with the ocean, the high seas, what we call the brown water Navy. The brown water Navy, or Navy where we have smaller boats go up rivers, they call it brown water Navy. In Vietnam, you had the swift boats and that kind of thing. The blue water Navy is what you think of as the Navy, the oceans. But it's a big planet. It's a big planet with a lot of water in it. And there are a lot of continents with a lot of land on them and a lot of bad people. Soldiers and sailors need leaders. They need platoon officers and they need deck division officers, but they also, up higher, need captains of ships, executive officers of ships, commanding officers of regiments, of brigades. You want to know, when potentially your life is in danger, that somebody who has more experience than you and has proven him or herself are going to make decisions that minimize the risk to you, but maximize the opportunity to effectuate your mission. And then you need leaders above them. This is not a bureaucracy. You need, it's not they sit around in the office somewhere and don't do any work. You need guidance. You need leadership. There's an admiral in charge of the second fleet, which is the Atlantic, the third fleet, the Pacific, the seventh fleet, the far Pacific, the fifth fleet, Bahrain. Right now, Tuberville has denied a commanding officer in Bahrain for the fifth fleet, and the USS Kearney, which is part of the fifth fleet, just got fired on. They should have an experienced commanding officer looking out for them. We're going back to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling us. My name, Wisco Paul.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. Very quickly, as someone that actually won the lottery, the only lottery I ever won in my life, you need leadership. If you don't have good leadership, people that can even basically read a map and stuff, you're going down, baby. And you need people you respect also. So that's my two cents. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, well, you hit the nail on the head. We need leadership. Soldiers need leadership. Sailors need leadership. Tom of West Allis, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Tom?
Hi there. Real quickly, I was listening to Liz Cheney this morning, and she had mentioned that she's trying to figure out what Tuberville is up to, and said that it's possible that he is holding out so when Trump gets elected, he can put his own people, which really scares the hell out of me when he puts his own people in the charge of the military.
Yeah, that's an interesting, and I've heard that before. And I can tell you, as someone having been in the military, our service academies that produce our best officers uniformly produce patriots. So I don't think Trump is going to be able to find people that are crooked like him. I don't think they are, number one. Number two, they have to be confirmed by the Senate. And unless the entire Republican Party goes crooked, some of these people are not going to get confirmed. But number three, Tuberville cannot possibly, in my judgment, drag this out till January of 25. If he does that, and we have no officers, every single senator should be dragged by the heels out of office and thrown in the street. Because the Democrats could do it with 51 votes, if they had 51 votes, and just get rid of the filibuster for it, and unanimous consent just for military promotions, but they won't do it. Now, maybe it's because Manchin and Sinema won't do it. But I think it's because they like being in the club with the velvet slippers. I'm tired of all of them. Coming up, you're not going to believe this. Trump wants the officers who defended the January 6th insurrection criminally charged.
Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its seven lifts near Haywood. were. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Metro Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, you won't believe this. I didn't believe it. Then I put it in context. It's the kind of thing that happened in Germany in the 30s. Now I do believe it. Donald Trump has announced that he wants the Capitol police officers who stood up to the January 6th insurrectionists criminally charged with assault for fighting the insurrectionists. Yeah, that's exactly what I just said. Donald Trump now wants the Capitol police officers who resisted the January 6th insurrectionists themselves to be criminally charged for, quote, fighting with the insurrectionists. Now, you have to know the context of this kind of diseased flip-flop of reality and truth. In the 1930s, this was a characteristic, and before that, actually, Mussolini in the 20s, but Hitler and his party. If you do something enormously bad, in the case of Hitler invading Poland, in the case of Mussolini, many atrocities, you have to do two things. One of them, by the fascist playbook, is to lie and deny it or say that the other side did it to you first. And the second thing you did, you have to do, whatever it is that you do, you deny it's you doing it, but it's the guy that you're doing it to is doing it to you instead. Now, the January 6th police were true heroes. You look at that video, they were badly outnumbered. One of them is down on the ground being stamped to death, and he begged and he said he had four daughters, and he succeeded not getting killed. Another got his head caught, it looked like in a door, was screaming. These cops were overwhelmed, beaten, punched, dragged downstairs by their ankles with their heads bouncing off the stairs. That's a good way to get a subdural hematoma. Another one was a very smart guy. He saw the insurrectionists coming up the stairs, and he knew that if they went into the Senate, you still had Pence in there and a couple of other senators, so he pretended to go the other way, and they followed him, and he decoyed them away from the senators who remained. Now, if you think through history about how this is used, it's used by people like Hitler. When he invaded Poland in 1939, remember, he invaded Czechoslovakia before that, and the British under Chamberlain went along with it. But when he invaded Poland, it triggered an awful lot of treaties, and it commenced World War II. Of course, we didn't get in until 1941 with the bombing of Pearl Harbor. But in any event, they set up a fake attack by Poland against Germany. There was a little outpost right near the border, and they had people, they sent Germans to that outpost to then fire a few shots into Germany. And then Hitler just announced that they'd been attacked by Poland. That's ridiculous. Poland in 1795 had been partitioned up among Russia, Prussia, and Austria. It didn't even exist for the entire 19th century. It didn't exist until after the First World War. That's when it went back on the map. So the First World War, let's say it ended in 1917. In 1939, 22 years later, you think that Poland, that had virtually no army, no equipment, had been from 1795 written off the map, suddenly decided to attack the most powerful army in Europe. And yet the Germans say, oh, well, I guess if he said it did, it did. This business of a fascist lying and saying that the other guy did it to him when he did it to the other guy is textbook. It's being played out elsewhere right now in this campaign. Over the weekend, Trump took all of the arguments Democrats are making about destroying democracy and just said right out of whole cloth, Biden's destroying democracy without any details. Suddenly, some of his supporters repeat it. You have to understand the nature of a fascist. You have to understand, and when I've said in the past, fascism creeps in on little cat's feet, it's galloping in on stallion's feet right now. You know, Liz Cheney just said a couple of days ago, we're sleepwalking into a dictatorship. This is exactly Hitler's tactics. Hitler said, Poland just invaded us. I must protect Germany. And then he invaded Poland, ended up killing 6 million people in the Holocaust and many more millions, Slavic people and otherwise. And then Stalin killed well over 20 million people. That's what they launched by line. To say, as Trump just said, that the Capitol police officers, law enforcement, should be criminally charged for defending themselves and the Congress, which was their duty, from people who were out to murder them. Because remember, hang Mike Pence. And Trump would say, well, they're just a bunch of tourists getting carried away. They had a gallows. It was a functioning gallows. That gallows was not constructed in 5 minutes when they decided to go up there. That gallows had been constructed days before by carpenters who knew what they were doing. They were there to kill Mike Pence. If Mike Pence had come walking down the hallway, they would have grabbed him and either stomped him to death or hung him. And then they were going around saying, oh, Nancy, oh, Nancy. They would have beaten her to death. They almost beat a cop to death. They would have beaten her to death. She's a what, 100-pound woman? Older, very slim woman in her 80s. She's in her 80s now. I guess she was in her late 70s then. Maybe she was 80. They were there for murder. One of them got killed. One of the officers, remember, they had weapons because they were officers. They didn't want to use them. But the glass was breaking, and they were afraid they would come in, and there were many congressmen still on the floor. They had not yet been evacuated. And as one of them came in, an officer fired, as he was supposed to do, and he killed one of the insurrectionists. Trump wants him tried for murder. Trump is the guy that did a sing-along with prisoners whom he refers to as hostages. Now, it's one thing if you're out there thinking of voting Republican to say, okay, I'm a Republican. It's quite another thing to be out there and say, I'm going to vote for a guy who says that he's going to criminally charge, and he would have his attorney general, if he put in a guy like Jeffrey Clark, criminally charge police officers for defending themselves. For defending themselves. And you can say even the six tarantulas wouldn't go along with that. Maybe after long appeals. But if Trump doesn't provide attorney's fees for these officers, what are they supposed to do? This is sick beyond measure. It is very, very sick beyond measure. Coming up, news, weather, and guess who Trump is threatening now in New York when the gag order prevents him from threatening the judge, Engoron, and his clerk.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Senate's new Democratic minority leader has a good relationship with Governor Evers and can work with Republican majority leader Devin Lemahue. That's according to J.R. Ross of WisPolitics on WISN-TV's Upfront. Senate Democrats chose Diane Hasselbein of Middleton to take over now that Melissa Agard is running for Dane County Executive. Ross says it remains to be seen if Hasselbein is an effective fundraiser. Airports around Wisconsin are getting money for safety and infrastructure upgrades. The Federal Aviation Administration is giving out $38 million in airport improvement grants. The money will upgrade runways, terminals, and roads. There are also plans for sustainability projects. The grants are part of a growing list of Wisconsin projects as part of the bipartisan infrastructure law. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Local drivers should be slightly concerned as Waukesha County takes the top spot on a list of counties with the highest number of vehicle deer crashes. The state DOT says Waukesha County recorded 922 collisions last year, following closely behind were Washington County in second place and Dane County in third. Officials say regardless of your location that it's crucial to drive slowly and to stay alert. The holiday train is on schedule for several stops in the area tonight. Wauwatosa, Heartland, and Watertown are where the Canadian Pacific train will stop to entertain and collect items for local food banks. At each stop, there's live music and more, and people showing up are asked to help in the effort. Since its inception in 1999, the train has raised over $22 million and collected more than 5 million pounds of food for food banks. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Packers beat the Chiefs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers over the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. The final, Green Bay 27, the Chiefs 19. After a four-game losing streak, the Packers now won four of their last five games. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur on how the offense is improving.
Certainly there's a trust, just making sure that we get the protection that's needed. You know, guys in the receiver room and tight end room are making plays in the passing game.
The Chiefs fall to 8-4, and next week they host the Buffalo Bills. Chiefs defensive lineman Chris Jones.
I go by the 5-minute rule. You got 5 minutes to complain. You got 5 minutes to get it all out.
NBA, the Bucks getting ready to play the New York Knicks tomorrow night at Fiserv Forum. Milwaukee held on to beat the Hawks 132-121 over the weekend. Adrian Griffin.
You know, we played a tough Atlanta team that could really score the ball. I don't think they missed in the first half, and we just weathered the storm.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your updated forecast on the Shaw. 36 this afternoon, under cloudy skies, west winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. 29 tonight, chance of snow. Chance of snow tomorrow, 38. A dusting of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Ooh,
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, let me tell you what's happening. Letitia James's case in New York City. Remember, there was a gag order preventing Trump from criticizing or attacking the clerk. It was suspended briefly. He attacked her again. He attacked the judge. Now there is a gag order back reimposed by the Court of Appeals, prohibiting his attacking the court staff, including the clerk and the judge. So what do you think Trump did? He now has attacked Judge Engoron's wife because technically, he says, she's not named in the gag order. And here's what he said, and then let me tell you the remedy, in my view, and also one way to put a stop to this. He attacked her, said she's no good, and she's been posting things, nasty, bad things about him on social media. That is false. She doesn't post anything. There's no judge's spouse going to post anything. The origin of that story is there is a right-wing activist named Laura Loomer. And Laura Loomer posted on social media that Engoron's wife had posted these bad things that, in fact, were posted by others. Laura Loomer lied about it. Trump then picked that up and attacked Engoron's wife. Now, within the mud bath, which is the right wing, it's very, very easy for somebody to give Trump cover, lie about something, and then Trump likes that or reposts it, retweets it, and says, see, and this is bad, and then he claims, I wasn't the one who did it. They've got to put a stop to this. You cannot possibly envision everybody he could attack. For instance, if you added the wife, there'll be children, there'll be relatives. One way to handle this, and this is something none of these judges have done, and I understand why, but they may want to start thinking about it. Believe it or not, Trump is out on bail in these cases. I'm talking about the criminal cases, not the civil case. He's not out on bail in the civil case, but in the criminal cases, he's out on bail. If and when he attacks a judge or the relative of a judge or a prosecutor in the criminal cases, what would normally happen if you or I did it, or even somebody who committed a crime and had no influence at all and no money, they would put him in jail, not because of a gag order. There wouldn't be a gag order. It'd be because he violated the conditions of his bail. You're not supposed to attack court personnel and judges and their families. So when he attacked Judge Chutnik in Washington, D.C., where he attacks Fannie Willis, who was the prosecutor in Atlanta, those judges could revoke his bail. Sometimes people are out on personal recognizance. Sometimes they put up some sum of money. The reason they haven't is he's running for president. But I think when it comes to these kinds of threats, enough's enough. Now, in the case of Judge Engoron, there is nothing, no bail, because it's a civil case. However, and this should probably come from the Court of Appeals, not Engoron, so it doesn't look self-serving. However, what a Court of Appeals could do is essentially use the criteria of bail prohibitions and say very generally or broadly, if Trump attacks any court staff, any of their relatives, or anybody who reasonably could be seen as close to the court staff, he will be put in jail for 5 days or 10 days, or he will be deemed to violate this gag order and leave it up to Engoron to do it. This is intolerable. If they add the wife, he'll go after the kids. If they have the kids, he'll go after the nieces and nephews. And publish their addresses and phone numbers. We're going to the line. John of Boaz, my friend. Thanks for calling, John. What's in your mind today?
Hi. Matt, do you know what we're doing with this Republican Party? Why don't we give Bernie Sanders a call?
Matt. What, you want him to join the Republican Party or what?
Well, okay. Well, if you think of Trump and who's this guy from Florida? Who's the governor from
DeSantis.
Florida? Those
DeSantis.
Two guys, they are liars. They are. What about this? This court has enough power to throw a contempt of court at Trump.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, you're hitting the nail on the head. And I leave Bernie out of it. Bernie's a good man. Bernie's not, you know, he's not, I suspect he won't even run for re-election given his age. But in any event, for contempt of court, you have to have a gag order that he violates. By continuing to violate the gag order in a sneaky, oblique way, for instance, going after spouses, going after relatives, going after kids, Jack Smith, remember, had to sell his house, and he's under 24-hour security, and his wife and kids. And Trump has attacked his wife. If that happened, and remember, that is a physical—that's a criminal case, so he's out on bail. If that happened to anyone else, they'd be in jail right now. Anyone else. What they're trying to do is bend over backwards to look like they're not somehow censoring him. And maybe he is hoping that they put him in jail so a mob comes down to try to spring him. He's a sick, sick individual. What I have no patience for are the people who are still going to vote for him, but they know better. They know better. People, businessmen, lawyers, doctors. There's some of them out there. You know who they are. You know some of them. This is going to end up getting somebody killed. You had somebody go and try to kill Tanya Chutkan. You had somebody go in Cincinnati to try to kill FBI agents. Trump is doing this on purpose. It may be that one of these judges in the criminal cases is going to have to say, Mr. Trump, stand up, make him stand up, and say, you have been doing this, and you have, and if you violated it again in any sense, attack or call attention to a member of the court staff, you will be put in that holding cell for 5 days. And if you do it again, it'll be 30 days. And then do it and put the Secret Service up in a cell next to him so they can keep an eye on him. The civil case in New York is different and more difficult because you're not out on bail in a civil case. But if you violate a gag order, that is contempt. And there's a thing called criminal contempt and civil contempt. Criminal contempt requires a jury trial, which would take months to do, unless the contempt is flagrant in the presence of the judge. If a guy says, F you, judge, you can put him in jail. But if he violates a gag order and is criminal, you want to put him in jail, you have to have a trial. What could be done is that the Court of Appeals enters it, not Engoron, a blanket gag order that's very, very broad. And if he violates, it start criminal contempt proceedings against him. But he's continuing to do this with Fannie Willis, with Tanya Chutkan and Jack Smith. And I think his bail should be revoked in those jurisdictions. We're going to the lines. Andrew of Detroit, my friend. Thanks for calling, Andrew. What's in your mind today?
Hey, I said months ago when he started all this nonsense that I believe they're afraid, the judges are afraid that this will rise through the appellate courts up to the Supreme Court. And knowing those tarantulas in there, they might go along with him. Yeah, it's his First Amendment rights. But maybe they're going to wait till something is so egregious that even the Supreme Court wouldn't side with it. So, you know, sooner or later, he is going to hang himself with his words. And I think that's what they're waiting for, Matt. Thanks. Bye.
They might, Andrew, but here's the problem. Here's the concern I have. What if the cataclysmic event they're waiting for is somebody gets murdered? We can't have that. We don't want it. We have the anomalous circumstance that we have a guy running for president who sadly was the president at one time with Russian collusion and Comey attacking Hillary Clinton and all of that, and did a great deal to damage the country, and now is ahead in the polls in the Republican primary. Although the latest polls show Biden inching ahead of him in a general election, but in the Republican primary. And so I agree with you. They want something much more clear cut. I agree with you. It's a good insight. But what's more clear cut could end up being murder. And frankly, I think he wants that. You must understand he's a sociopath. He may even be a psychopath. I'll tell you, there's a thing called argumentative early onset dementia, argumentative. And you've seen there's some TV advertisements and commercials for certain kinds of care facilities and all that. But I have known a number of people with dementia, and some of them are quite docile. Some of them, you know, they smile, they sleep, they watch TV, and they have a very flat affect. But there's some who are argumentative, and some will hit people, scream, curse, argue at the drop of a hat. Trump is showing the signs of early onset argumentative dementia. Remember, Trump is only 3.5 years younger than Biden. Trump will be in his 80s if he were elected again. So there are many people in their late 70s and early 80s who I know who have had early onset dementia. Trump has it. Biden does not. Biden stuttered. He's in great command of himself. He's perfectly physically. He's good. And thank God he's calling the shots right now, given the Middle East, given Ukraine, given China, given everything he's facing. But Trump has early onset argumentative dementia. And he, during January 6th, remember that in 2021, January 6th, he sat chuckling in front of the TV. Go get him. And he wouldn't call off the dogs. He would not call them off, no matter. Sean Hannity called them. This one called them. Don Trump Jr. called them. All of them lying now and saying that he did the right thing. He didn't do the right thing. He wanted to see someone killed. You've got to get this through your heads out there if you are a Republican actually thinking of voting for Trump again. He takes pleasure in seeing someone killed. Part of it, and you know, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not going to get into shrinking his head. I mean, part of it is he didn't go to Vietnam and he lied about his bone spurs, but he's always been fascinated with the idea of people being killed as long as he himself wasn't the one being killed. But the guy, you know, to say that you're going to attack the judge's wife, that's a mafia tactic. That's a mafia tactic. Attack the judge's wife because she's not mentioned in the gag order. There isn't a basic sense of decency, responsibility, humanity to that. That's a cruel and sadistic thing. And I've said this before on the air, and I'll say it again now. Three very eminent psychologists, and remember, or psychiatrists actually, but remember one thing, they were doing this without examining him, so you can take it for that what it's worth. But they said that he's a sadonarcissist. He's a narcissist, but he has a sadistic streak to him. The way he treats women, the way he handles women, the tone of voice with women. He likes to see people injured. A sadist takes physical pleasure in the suffering of others. And that is what he is doing. And these judges had better figure out how to protect the broader mass of his targets. I'll tell you what, coming up, Mike Johnson, whose name I don't even like to mention, you will not believe the foreword to the book that he wrote.
You
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Half Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Half Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Half Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Half Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Half Diamonds, where they want your business.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Well, I won't.
Welcome back to Match Point Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, Mike Johnson, yes, that Mike Johnson, the speaker who snuck in. There was a bit of jujitsu, of judo by the Freedom Caucus. They squeezed Kevin McCarthy out because he had done a deal with the Democrats. They squeezed Tom Emmer out because they said they wouldn't vote for him on the floor. And Tom Emmer had been called a rhino by Trump. I still don't know why the Democrats didn't go to Emmer and agree to give him the extra votes, but they didn't. He was a moderate. So then they got their guy. They got Mike Johnson. The least of his sins is that he says he doesn't have a bank account. I don't believe it. Somebody's depositing his check somewhere. But he's not financially transparent. He's also not transparent at all. He denies that there's separation of church and state. He would be a disaster if he ever got into executive authority. I'm deeply concerned that Trump might pick him as his VP. And if not, the scoundrel will be around 4 years from now to make trouble. But salt this away in the back of your minds. Here's what he just did. Mike Johnson wrote the foreword to a book and promoted it. It's a book on conspiracy theories against the Democrats. But it described poor voters. Here's how it describes it. Here's how he describes it. As unsophisticated and susceptible to government dependency. Now, let me tell you something in this forward. If you are thinking of voting for president or vice president, and let me tell you something, this guy Johnson is only one heartbeat behind Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is one heartbeat behind Joe Biden. Then Kamala Harris, and then Mike Johnson, over any senator, over any cabinet member, any general, over anybody, Mike Johnson. He's not qualified. He does not believe in our Constitution. But more importantly, what kind of a speaker do you want who adopts these words? Poor voters are unsophisticated and susceptible to government dependency. Well, yeah, the Affordable Care Act, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unions that can get fair wages, environmental protections, consumer protections. Yeah, they are. They're not the only ones. I am too, and so are you. But to divide people up like that, to divide, it was very reminiscent of Mitt Romney when he ran. Remember when he said something like, the 45% are takers and everybody else is a giver. Maybe it's the other way around. This instinct in the Republican Party, and it's not shared by all Republicans, but this instinct in the Republican Party to denigrate what they call poor people And by poor people, this is not a scientific statement about what the poverty level is. This is about average people. Average people. And you frankly have to be very, very afraid that if a guy like Mike Johnson ever gets into more power than he has, and he already has quite a bit, would do as much or more damage long-term to this country as Trump. Trump is the worst, I get it, but he's also getting on in years, and he has early onset argumentative dementia. Mike Johnson is younger. He hath the lean and hungry look. He hath the sly and lean and hungry look. I don't trust his eyes. And he has said that in a book. Forward to a book. Poor people are unsophisticated. What's that, a crime to be unsophisticated? Susceptible to government dependency. He's very sneakily and slyly trying to suggest that the government dependency is welfare. But there isn't much welfare anymore. There truly is not. He's describing as welfare the Affordable Care Act, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and environmental and consumer protections and other protections. Protections from the EEOC that not be racially discriminated against in firing or based on your gender. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the whole infrastructure of modern American government. That is what he is talking about. And he isn't the only weirdo in the Republican Party, although he has more power and may be getting more power than the average Republican. There's another guy, the chairman of the Florida Republican Party. His name is Christian Ziegler. Christian Ziegler is a arch conservative. He is married to a woman who is the co-founder of Moms for Liberty. She has said publicly that public schools are indoctrination centers for the radical left, and she wants to bring religious values into them. So this is a Republican power couple. Okay, except for one thing. Christian Ziegler is currently under investigation in Florida for rape and sexual battery. And he's the chairman of the Republican Party. And I haven't heard DeSantis or anybody else or Trump say boo about it. You know, there's a certain amount of hypocrisy. I mean, look, everybody's human. People say things. I get all that. But at some point, how do you have a chairman of your party in Florida be investigated for rape, and he goes around saying the kind of things he does? How do you have the Speaker of your House, who says he's a compassionate guy and all this, and he says that poor people are susceptible to government dependency and they're unsophisticated, and to deny the separation of church and state. And as Liz Cheney has pointed out, he is also one of the architects of overturning the 2020 election. One of the architects, architecting with Texas the brief that tried to overturn it, ignoring all the court decisions. Coming up, a lot of news and weather. And how about this? This Johnson fellow also now says he's going to impeach Joe Biden.
My ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Lofi's Holiday Sweepstakes is back.
The Bakers of Country Hearts would like to put a little more jingle in your holiday this season by giving you a chance to win one of two $500 prizes, or the grand prize of $1,000. Winners will each receive a check that can be used for travel, gifts, or just celebrating with family and friends. Whatever makes your holiday more jolly. For complete rules and to enter for your chance to win, visit facebook.com/loafiesbread.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News